going down and commissioning. Slots are limited. Channels are facing competition that certainly was not there at all when I started in television, but it is growing all the time. So the challenge for the commissioners is, by and large, to commission programmes that will have a good audience. Now, a good audience may not be a large audience, but it may be a key audience, including a particular demographic. It might be, you know, key to your audience, but it might not be millions. But you look at Channel 4 News, it has its market. It's not big in numbers. And more for that matter is Sky News. But Sky News has become extremely important because it's watched by opinion makers. But, you know, if you look at the general figures, I don't know what it is now, but even when I was at ITV 5 or 6 years ago, more people used to watch the ITV in the Midlands, or let's say a BBC local programme and an ITV local programme between 6 and 7, than watch Sky News in a week. That's the sort of figures. They're looking for audience, they're looking for niches, they're looking for market share. So programmes are being commissioned that will meet those slots. And no one should make a programme for their own vanity. I want to make this programme, it's going to be an hour long, and it's going to do this and this and this, because that is self-indulgent. You've got to make a programme that, you know, you feel is important, and therefore you should be able to accept some sort of advice in putting that programme together. I could make a programme on fishing, which I love, or on cricket, which no one would watch, but I would sit there for hours and watch it. There is a balance. A programme maker who wants to get a programme shown has to accept what the narrow parameters are of trying to get it onto a scheduled channel. Obviously, track record helps, and if you've got a record of delivering programmes that have achieved what they set out to achieve, and whatever that may be in terms of investigation, in terms of an arts documentary, in terms of a sports documentary, a nature documentary, if you've got a track record in achieving and producing those programmes, you're more likely to get commissioned than someone who's pitching an idea for the first time. Again, the golden rule, I said most of my career spent in news, to me, is what's the story? What is it you're trying to do with this 30-second voiceover piece, or this 3-minute package, or this 10-minute segment, or this half-hour programme, or this 3-hour series? What's the story? What are you trying to do with it? That to me, would be, as a commissioner, say, OK, tell me what it is you're doing. And then, when you tell me what it is you're doing, tell me how are you going to do it. My basics as a daily news person is that find out what it is. What is it you're trying to sell, to make? And once you know that and you realise that, then you can make it much better. My view, again, and it's from a newsman's point of view, is that anyone who works in TV news is a journalist. I want that attitude made clear in all the consulting work I do. So it's important that you treat the cameraman, the camerawoman, the director if you have one, the sound recorder if you have one, the editor. More and more, the graphic artist is part of our journalists, because their only job is to make news programmes. I think that concept is vital to grasp, particularly now when you haven't got the big teams, the budgets that there were in the past. We know there are lots of tricks with lighting. In fact, a lot of interviews are shot on blue screen, so you can post-produce an image which might not be necessarily representative of the subject, but can be very effective on the other way. One of the basic rules you're taught when you're making reports, films, you know, things like, you know, cutaways, two shots, noddies, reverses, repeats, which are totally false. But they're part of, when you go back to your original question about the grammar of television, you're expected to do it. And I think it's far more honest now when you have some sort of dissolve or morphing on an interview, because the viewer can see it's been edited. But we use those other devices as a means of editing interviews, and they were shot afterwards, unless you had a 2 or 3 camera shoot. But most of the time it was single camera, and it was an extremely artificial and, to a large extent, dishonest device. More and more I'm seeing, and I agree with the fact that this is a cut. You can see it's not how they finish the interview. Far more honest of the approach. there is a risk, but on the other hand, it's a journalist's duty to try and get people to talk, to make them aware of the medium, what their audience is, you know, how important it is to avoid jargon, to try and give concise answers. So you should be helping people who've got an important contribution to make that contribution in a way that you can get it over. And maybe that's artificial as well. You know, this guy wants to talk for half an hour on the subject, but you only want, or the program only has room for a minute, 10 seconds. So you've got to make them aware that's what you'll be doing. And of course, a lot of scientists nowadays are very media savvy as well. You know, it's part of your job when you're doing an interview is to make people as comfortable as possible, as relaxed as possible. Generally, you're not trying to trick people. You know, you've got to have a special reason to try and get the answer. You know, if they're being evasive, Paxman's is sort of a classic example, good or bad. A lot of the time, you're not trying to do that. You're not trying to be hostile. You're trying to get information that will help you tell the story or to help them pass on the information. So it's down to the journalist to make that work.